translation with purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even amongst the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to household life in this material world? Please repeat after me. The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to a household life in this material world? Purport. As explained above, when the feelings of love and the transcendental bliss from the spiritual world are pervertedly reflected in this material world, they are certainly the cause of bondage. As long as men feel attracted to women in this material world and women feel attracted to men, the bondage of repeated birth and death will continue. But in the spiritual world, where there is no fear of birth and death, such feelings of separation are the cause of transcendental bliss. In the absolute reality, there are varieties of feelings, but all of them are of the same quality of transcendental bliss. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangalam Gayate Girim Yat-kripa-tam-aham-bande-shi-guru-dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Tamala Krishna Vaswamini Tinamini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavati Paschata Desatarine. And I offer my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord, present here, and those who are not present, and those who are in this material world, and those who are in the spiritual world, and those who are everywhere. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo nama. The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to a household life in this material world?
Very kind. Thank you.
This is an interesting verse here, which highlight the cause of bondage for all of us.
Thank you very much.
Sometimes, very often, we wonder, why am I here? How did I come to be here? What was the cause of me falling down from the spiritual world? Where I come from? What is the purpose of life? Where do I want to go in my next life? Who am I? So those are very often questions asked by a devotee, because we don't want to suffer. Well, we find ourselves in a very precarious situations. We find ourselves suffering, and we wonder why we are suffering. It is because of this, the attraction that we have for it's called Matulyahagra. That's in the Bhagavatam, the definition of attraction to the sensual life or bodily life. It's called Matunahagara, which are the powerful bondage of sex life. And as Srila Prabhupada says here, some point in the past, it was Madhurya Rasa, described in the Bhagavatam, that originally this attraction was Madhurya Rasa, attraction towards Krishna. But then somehow or another, it became Matunyahagara, powerful bondage of this material life. It is something, a phenomena that is present in everybody. If someone comes to you and says, I have no desire to enjoy, or not, I have no attraction for the opposite sex, or no sexual desire, that person is actually trying to sell you something. It's cheating you. Don't believe. In the, Narada Bhakti Sutra, which was translated, was written, commented, or translated by Satsvarup Maharaj. A very interesting book about the brahmachari life, about the all instructions of Sri Narada Muni, which are extract mainly from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As you know, there is a story of Puranjan, how he came. It was an allegoric story. It is an allegory, it doesn't exist, but at the same time, it's illustrating the life of everyone in this world. Puranjan means, Pura means city, Anjan means the king of the city, the soul. Anjan is the soul. The soul living within the city of the body, and how he came to be, how he came to this material existence, how he came in contact with the body. So he became enamored, he became attracted by this opposite sex called Gramaka. Gramaka is the opposite sex. And vice versa, Gramaka became attracted to Puranjan. And in this way, material life began. In Christianity, you have the example of Adam and Eve, you know, the male and female principle. They committed the forbidden sin, which was the forbidden sin. They enjoyed the forbidden fruit. When I was a young boy in the monastery, the nuns taught us the forbidden fruit was the apple situated on the tree that the God told Adam and Eve, you can eat every fruit in this tree, but don't eat that apple. Actually, again, that was allegoric. It was something to not be rude, you know, to not be too explicit to the children. What that meant, really, in the catechism, was that God was telling Adam and Eve, you can enjoy this material world, but don't engage in sexual activity. If they would have followed the instructions of God, then there was no fall down, then there was no children, no procreation, no miserable life. But what they did, they engaged in that thing. They ate the forbidden fruit. And that's when Satan came. Actually, it was a Satan who was indulging them, who was instigating them. Just do it, don't worry, it's very nice. That's Maya, exercising on the head of everybody. Just do it, and you'll feel good. Just for a few seconds, but then the misery comes. From lust comes anger. From anger, greed, and then attachment. We increase the attachment in this world, greed. We want more and more and more. Lust, anger, and greed, they are actually the three children of, they are the result of sex life. If you want to know how lusty you are, you can do a self-analysis on yourself, or if we want to know, including myself, how lusty we are, then we can observe in a day how much we are overwhelmed by these three children, three qualities, lust, anger, and greed. If you don't feel those three things, then means you are free from sex life. You're actually a pure devotee. But then what are you doing here? But it's not a fact. Everybody has those these three things. Everybody, there's a conversation, Srila Prabhupada said, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that even a pure devotee, they come with a sexual desire, but they use it for procreation. If Srila Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee, he had no sexual desire, then he wouldn't have had a family. Why did he accept the Grihastha ashram? Actually, Prabhupada wanted the two wives. You know, he wanted to, you know, was married to one, and then he also. But it's not a sin. As long you use that desire for procreation. So therefore, there are devotees who come, you know, like Nitya Siddhi, like for example Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. They also, you know, they have, they You could say, you know, they come with a material body, but they're fully self-realized, and but they check and control all these emotions. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, one should not suppress the desire, for example, the sex desire, just like holding a cobra. That's a very good analogy. When you hold the cobra, it's like those are like yogi. They hold, they control their mind, they force their mind to keep away from sensual, then control the sex desire by force. But then it's like controlling the cobra by the neck by force. It's under control, yes, but when you release the cobra, the reaction is that it will bite you. So this is the attempt of the yogis. They practice for many, many years, but then at some point, you know, they fall down. Like, you know, for example, Vishwamitra. That was a nice sound. Srinivas, if you're tired, you can have a nap. Don't worry, you have my permission. Otherwise, I will wake you up. With a... So, Vishwamitra, you know, he... But then, on the other hand, you have like this snake enchanter. You know, we've seen the cobra enchanter. They do control the snake, but not by force, but by sound, by mantra. So a devotee is like that. We control our desires, everything by mantra. So that the snake of sex desire does not bite us when we finish the music. When we finish our chanting, just like Haridas Thakur told the prostitute, you know, don't worry, just wait, let me finish my rounds, and then I will satisfy you. A devotee is like that. You know, he controlled his the tendency for sin, this prarabdha karma, by mantra, by devotion. And then when you finish the chanting, then the sex desire doesn't bite you. It's not angry. So that's the way. It's there in everybody's. Material body means it has to have all these emotions. Lust, anger, greed, everything is there. But you use it in Krishna's service. Because if you don't feel these things, means you don't have a body. Those are the dharma of, those qualities are the dharma of the body. Is the package, Narada Muni says, that comes within a material body. Some people, they are more lusty than the other, some they are more angry, some they are more happy, some they are more miserable, some they are more diseased. Some, you know, he says in the fourth canto that each one of us were born in this world with a baggage called karma, and in that baggage we have a certain amount of happiness, certain amount of distress, a certain amount of wealth will be coming to us, a certain amount of children, a particular wife, a certain amount of years to live. So everything is predestined by karma, previous lives. So it is not a sacrilege that I'm saying that a pure devotee has a sex. What's wrong to have attraction? That's why Srila Prabhupada, it's actually here from Sukadeva Goswami, and he's stating the absolute truth. This attraction between male and female is ancient. It's eternal. And originates between Radha and Krishna, between God and his own energy. But it's not a sin for God to be attracted to himself. It's a different. There's a difference between God and us. For him being attracted to his Ladini Shakti, or Ram towards Sita, or Krishna towards Radharani, it's not a sin, it's not a sacrilege. It's actually natural for them. Because who can criticize God for loving part of himself, for being attracted to something that belongs already to him? Ladini Shakti is the internal pleasure potency of the Lord. So that pleasure, it's always there to give pleasure to him. It's the internal happiness of Krishna. It's like the happiness of Krishna sometimes comes out of his body, and that's the female energy, Radharani. He cannot live without her. So similarly, when Lord Ram, he lost Sita, when Sita went in, it's like your own happiness, your own inner self, it goes away from you. But then, of course, they become reunited again. So one who understands this is actually, that's why the Krishna book, it's very interesting. I was thinking during the kirtan, why is it so purifying to hear the pastime, the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or the rasa dance, or to hear about the exchange of gopis with Krishna, this intimate pastime? Why is it purifying? Why it purifies the lusty desire, the sex desire? It's because one understands that female principle is none other than the energy of Krishna. And there is no jealousy when people or the priests or the religions say, how can I accept you, God, who is very sinful? So many women, he married so many queens. And so for them, they cannot understand and only increase the envy. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kija. They don't understand that Bhaktanam Tapaso Yagyam. He is the master of everything, is the enjoyer of everything, all the spiritual planets, all the material planets, all the living entities. Because we are all part and parcel of Krishna, Ladini Shakti, internal energy. We are all coming from his consciousness. That's why we call the movement of Krishna consciousness. We are the consciousness of God, all of us. When you are fixed up in your Sanatana Dharma, in your devotional, they say that you are in Krishna consciousness. That means you are in living peacefully and gracefully in your constitutional position, which is the consciousness of God. Of course, we have this Anu, we are Anu, small part of consciousness, that we have a little individuality there. But that individuality can only be comfortable in the consciousness of God, in Krishna consciousness. We don't say this is the movement for devotee consciousness, isn't it? We don't say that. We say this is the movement for Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. So one who understands that when Krishna, he exercised this attraction towards the so-called opposite sex, the gopis and the Shrimati Radharani, is actually none other than his energy. It's like so who can criticize you if you are in your room and very intimately you are having exchange with your own consciousness, with your own happiness. You're enjoying your own happiness, which is something that belongs to you. It's part of your inner self. People, they cannot criticize that you are having sex with yourself. So that's in plain words, that's what it means, the loving exchange between Radha and Krishna. They're actually on a very elevated platform. Something that nobody, they're adokshaja, akunta medase, nobody can understand this mahabhav that is going on between the superior female principle and male principle. Now, Prabhupada also, he didn't even talk about God here in the translation. He just said, what did he say? This is phenomena, such feelings are present even among the controller like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to household life to the, in this material world? The demigods themselves, they have this attraction because originally is in God. So, and any expansion of God is born with that attraction. So we cannot deny it. Lord Shiva, you know the pastime, is partially, is 50-50. It's a God and he's a Jiva, but he's actually, in his own category, he's a superior to all the other demigods. When he saw Mohini Murti, Mohini Devi, he became so attracted that his sex life became stipulated. It discharged semen, and that's where the great hero of Markandeya was born. It was Markandeya or the other one? Kartikeya, sorry. The commander-in-chief of the demigods to fight against the demons. Of course, those are pastimes. Lord Brahma chasing his own daughter. We're not talking about any other woman. But you could see that this female attraction or male attraction is so powerful that sometimes becomes perverted into so-called like pedophile or incest. You have so many different types of attractions. There are, believe me, there was someone, I don't even want to say if he's a devotee or not devotee, but someone who came to confide it to me many, many years ago, and he was feeling attraction towards his daughter. He didn't know what to do. So I said, you know, please go and confide to Shivram Swami, who was the GBC at that time. And he did. But, you know, he didn't do anything about it. Maharaj said, you know, just control, you know, more chanting, more mantra. He said, these things are part of the material. He didn't criticize him or chastise him, you know. Devotee was very honest with himself. You get, you know, the great Mahajan, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who is none other than Dharmaraj, the epitome of Dharma. We know the pastime that he felt attracted towards his own mother, Kunti. Kunti had a boon from Durvasa Muni to never grow old more than 16 years old. She was practically speaking a grandmother, but she was even younger than Draupadi. Did you know that? Kunti was actually had the beauty and the age of a 16 years old girl. And Maharaj Yudhisthira became attracted to her. So that feeling was bothering him. So he went to confide to Krishna. And he said, you know, I'm feeling attracted towards my own mother. What to do? And Lord Krishna says, oh, what are you going to do about it? And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, nothing. So Krishna said, yes, that's the point. Nothing. So the ocean, so many waves, that's the mind, the consciousness. We get, you know, there is nothing wrong to be attracted to a beauty. We are living in an imaginary, illusory. Maya is very strong. It's a divine energy that only Krishna can overcome it, not us. Devyeshu gunamayi mama maya durateya. Durataya, very, very strong, very powerful. Doesn't say that if you read that verse and study that verse properly, you would see that the translation is not that you overcome it yourself. Right? You surrender to Krishna and then he will carry you. He will make you overcome it. It requires a surrender to the Lord and then he can make you overcome it. It's the power of Krishna that makes you to overcome, because Krishna is the only one above this divine, because this divine energy is very attractive, is a part of him. Maya, the Yoga Maya, Mahamaya, they're both very powerful. Varanatmika Shakti. There is another aspect of Maya, Mahamaya, Avaranatmika Shakti. Does anybody know what that means? Avaranatmika is the Sanskrit word, bewildering. Bewildering energy. You have Antaranga Shakti, you have Ladini Shakti, which is transcendental energy, you have But Avaranatmika Shakti is actually bewildering energy. That you think that you are happy, but actually you are suffering. Now that's very, very tricky. Just like the camel, Prabhupada gives the example in the Bhagavatam. The camel is eating thorns. That's Avaranatmika Shakti. And he's hungry, he's eating thorns, he's enjoying. But actually the thorns, they are ripping off his tongue, and then he swallows the thorns together with blood. So that's the sex life in this world, Prabhupada mentions. We think we are enjoying, but actually we are throwing away, you know, our own energy. People, like, they drink or they take drugs, they think they are enjoying, they are feeling good, but actually they are losing, they're suffering. That's Avaranatmika Shakti. Any pleasure in this world is tricked. You think that, like smoking, people, they think they're, you know, enjoying, having a break, you know, from the reality. I have a nice coffee. I meet many people, businessmen in the car, you know, drinking coffee and smoking, having a nice break from the stress, the work, the family. But actually that very pleasure, it's killing them. So-called pleasure. And that pleasure, what is it? None other than the space between two gross suffering. When we think we are not suffering, we are having a break, it's just the space between two suffering. But that space is also suffering. People, they take drugs to not suffer anymore. But that drugs makes you even, it kills you even more than what you felt before. So it's better you reverse and go back to the way you were. Does it make sense? So if Brahma, Lord Shiva, they cannot do it, what to speak of us? What to speak of us? Somebody asked the question before, about a few days ago. If someone is attached to Krishna, does that mean he's more advanced than someone who is feeling lusty? I can't remember who asked the question. The answer is, lusty desire, it's part of the anarthanivritti. Anarthanivritti, if someone feels very, very, very attracted towards lusty desire, that means in that degree you are not attracted to Krishna. You can have both. Believe it or not, there are devotees, exalted devotees, they like Krishna very much. They're very intimate to him, but still also they have attraction. But, you know, they're able to control it. But attachment to Krishna, it means ashakti. Ashakti, it comes two stages superior to anarthanivritti. You have anarthanivritti, then nishta. As soon as you get rid of all the gross anartha, doesn't mean you're not lusty anymore. That means you become free from the anartha, that the reaction of your sinful activity. But it doesn't mean that you don't feel the propensity to sin again. The propensity to sin again, it's in everybody. The propensity to sin, it's in everybody. Believe it or not, even a dhyacharya, if they come, If they want to, if they choose to, they can sin and fall down. But they don't choose to. Because the propensity comes with the material body. So therefore, but it's checked, it's controlled. Because the stage of attachment to Krishna, it's much more superior. So you have a nishta, someone who is a nishta, and then ruchi, you develop a taste for spiritual life. Then you have a shakti. That's the answer to your question. A shakti means attachment, attraction towards Krishna. If we have more attraction towards Krishna than the opposite sex, in terms of lust, in a lusty way, then we are considered to be very fortunate, because the attraction towards Krishna is actually controlling our lusty desire. And that's why we have a Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha Ashram means that you can regulate your sense gratification. You can regulate that attraction. You're attracted to women, there is no problem. You get married and you have a children. So you use that lust in Krishna service and you bring up the family in Krishna consciousness. So those are just few thoughts, few points on this verse. And we have a few minutes. And we ask if there is any questions.